The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is that you're doing at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do at 11, I'm happy that you're doing that do and that you've decided to do that do with me. It is Friday. Bim. The people tired awaken. Ba-dum, ba-dum. Later on, Daily at the Disco playing. All right? So I'm happy that you're here with me. I don't know what's going on with these headphones, Ali. I can't hear anything. But there are some things that I want to get through. You know, we read the speech from the throne yesterday, and there was a teeny tiny bit of it that I didn't get all the way through. So I'm going to read the last of it now. And it we played the game yesterday. What it is they said versus what it is we heard. All right, so the continuation of the speech goes like this. I do have a guest in the studio with me, so I'm going to speed through this. And then he and I are going to talk about F&M politics, the goings-on. I'm going to permit him to pick a big three today. Who are the big three coming out of the cabinet? Are there two sets of big threes? Should we be looking for a big three led by women? How does he feel about both the upper and the lower house being led by women? And is there a possibility that the entire institution, known as the government of the Bahamas, could very shortly be resting solely on the shoulders of women? Could it be? Is it possible that the only arm of government that would not be on the shoulders of a woman in this term in office, could it be that the only part of the government would be the executive? Who knows? Let's see. So I don't want to preempt that too much. I want to talk it up a bit, and then we'll figure it out from there. So the speech from the throne continues as such. This is a speech from the throne read by His Excellency, the Most Honorable Order of the Nation, Cornelius A. Smith, and it continues as such. Madam President and Honorable Senators, Madam Speaker, and members of the House of Assembly, my government considers housing a basic right through programs and policies. It will increase access to affordable housing. New subdivisions will be developed using public and private partnerships. My government will return to building houses for Bahamians. That scares me. Madam President and Honorable Senators, Madam Speaker, and members of the Honorable House of Assembly, my government will work to ensure that the natural resources of the Bahamas benefit our people. My government will strengthen legislation to establish a sovereign wealth fund that already exists. My government proposes that all of its non-financial assets will be held in this fund for the benefit of generations of Bahamians. My government will provide the legal, fiscal, and regulatory framework with the creation of the Ministry of Natural Resources and the Environment. My government will secure carbon credit payments for our natural resources. Madam President and Honorable Senators, Madam Speaker, and members of the Honorable House of Assembly, my government strongly reaffirms that universal and equitable access to quality education is key to our national development and the fulfillment of each person's potentiality. I haven't heard that word in a while. My government is fully committed to support every young person in overcoming obstacles to digital learning and to restore in-person lessons as soon as it is safe and practicable with health guidance. My government will also establish programs for monitoring and assisting high school dropouts so that immediate action is taken to ensure they continue to contribute to society as productive citizens. My government will introduce measures to offer, expand the curriculum offering, and incorporate educational models that build character, promote self-esteem, and foster good citizenship for a deeper understanding and appreciation of our history. My government will ensure that the gap in access to education caused by COVID-19 prevention protocols is closed with a comprehensive remediation program to ensure that no child is left behind. My government will create magnet schools and specialty institutes for science, technology, engineering, the visual and performing arts, mathematics, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. My government will, that's funny. My government will amend the Education Act to provide for universal pre-primary education for 3- and 4-year-olds, consolidate the National Accreditation and Equivalency Council of the Bahamas and the Preschool and Daycare Council, and specify homeschooling modalities. Madam President and Honorable Senators, Madam Speaker, and members of the Honorable House of Assembly, the good health and well-being of our youth is of prime concern to our government. My government will invest in their development, encourage and support their participation in national life, and provide and promote opportunities for their future. My government will create national programs that tackle new threats to the well-being of our young people, including issues of mental health, lack of self-confidence and identity, excessive social media consumption, and national identity and unity. My government will create a national first job program that allows young people between the age of 16 and 25 to gain a 1-year government subsidy placement in a field of national priority, including the new economies and trade. My government will launch the Community Youth Service and offer stipends for young Bahamians to provide service to NGOs and community groups. This can build a vital bridge between school and the job market. My government will establish a National Youth Guard in order for young people to receive technical training, enabling them to serve in a disaster response corps. Madam President and Honorable Senators, Madam Speaker, and members of the House of Assembly, my government will capitalize on the ongoing successes of the industrial sector on Grand Bahama and use the investment arm of the Ministry of Grand Bahama to create a one-stop shop to attract new local and direct foreign investment by way of duty-free concessions across the entire island. Family island affairs and local government are priorities of my government. My government will develop strategic plans for each island. They said that earlier in the speech. My government will work toward the finalization of a local government act for New Providence. My government will empower local government with revenue-raising powers and share jurisdiction over local affairs and community management and development. My government will increase the budget for local government councils during our 5-year term. My government will govern for the many, not for the few, and promote the best interests of Bahamians and the Bahamas. My government will increase accountability and transparency. My government will fully implement the provisions of the Freedom of Information Act. Measures will be introduced to amend the rules of the House of Assembly to enable fixed sessions of Parliament. That is a fixed election date, just in case you don't know what that means. My government will pursue a foreign policy that promotes and upholds our founding principles of democracy, human rights, and non-interference. My government will strengthen its engagement with the international community, becoming more strategic and deliberative in our participation in regional and international organizations. In collaboration with neighboring countries, my government will work to strengthen our maritime borders and seek regional solutions to common issues such as migration. My government will deepen our relations with our bilateral and international partners and bring focused attention to the promotion of trade and investment and the provision of technical assistance. My government will expand its reach in the global community by opening consulates and embassies, including the appointment of honorary consuls and non-resident envoys in key areas of the world to ensure that our interests are promoted and protected. Madam President and Honorable Senators, Madam Speaker and members of the House of Assembly, these are the policies and plans upon which my government will legislate in order to bring about a new day in the Bahamas. We look forward to working in partnership with the Bahamian people to bring about a healthier, wealthier, and wiser society. I pray that the blessings of Almighty God may rest upon your counsels. Here ends the speech from the journal. And with that, you know, I've got my chief political analyst, news pundit, and commentator, Corvel Byfrom, to join me this morning. Corvel, what's up?
Good morning, Levin. Good to be with you.
You look like you fell asleep during
the speech. No, no, no. I was listening quite attentively.
Could you imagine it being read in His Excellency's voice? I tried. It wasn't. I would prefer.
Imagine it happened.
But did you actually listen?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't listen. I just read it.
Oh.
I couldn't. You know, I went from, I have a bias. I really liked Dame Marguerite. Mm-hmm. And like, I really liked listening to her read.
Okay.
It was always just so wonderful. The new Governor General just doesn't do that for me. I apologize. So, what's been going on? I see you've been following the fashion. I see we've had a, what was it? Is that a soiree? Can we call that a soiree that they had over there the other day? What I know it was the super spreader event.
That too, especially the after party, eh?
Oh yeah, about 1,500 people.
But at the same time, though, I gotta admit, I was happy for them, though, especially those older guys, seeing them like dance around and just having a good time. It's like,
you thought it was regal splendor, didn't you?
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm in no place to judge these people, so well, asking
according
me,
to you, you told me, man, doesn't the backdrop of Bahama just look perfect? Do you
this is what I said. Yeah. I thought the staging of it, I really liked the staging of the event, and I have no problem with that being the norm. I mean, for the opening session, take it out of downtown and put it in one of the resorts where you can have it as a staged event, because it's nothing really, you know what I mean? So this is just ceremonial. Let's just go do that there, and then we go back to work. I mean,
What do you think about the fashion at the opening of Parliament? A bit too much?
No, I think it was like everything rolled into one. You know, like everything that we've wanted. It really was an expression of people who have been who felt suppressed and they came out just with everything available to them. And so it was the Source Awards, the Oscars, the Kentucky Derby, some royal wedding, everything just rolled into one.
A little bit of the picture carnival.
Much as everything.
I wondered one thing the entire event, like, did anyone actually read the invitation?
But again, I think it was an expression of our blackness, and I kind of like that.
The invitation has a specific dress code. Yeah,
yes,
the invitation said morning and suit and black tie.
And I, okay,
there was nothing morning suit or black tie about that.
And
event.
I have never. There's nowhere on the planet where populations of black people ever adhere to those types of rules. It just does not happen.
But don't you at least go to your seamstress, your dressmaker, your tailor, and say, here is the invitation. I need a suit to match this. Isn't that the way it works?
You would think so. But again, I just don't think it's one of those things that go with being black. And I'm not trying to be funny or be racist or anything like that. I think this was one of those proud moments of true expression of blackness.
They turned it into something galer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
And again, it also, see, you know, you were reading back portions of that speech from the throne. And I think that, like, there's nothing to comment on about what's in the speech. I think the real thing should be about what's not in it. Because to find fault with anything in there would be just a bit ridiculous in my estimation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think. So don't expect any move, because I know we're following what Barbados does very closely. So we're not moving away from monarchy here.
Right.
That's not going to happen,
right.
Or at least not it's not one of this government's priorities,
yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, I just think when we look at that, we realize that, you know, we're not that interested. The people apparently don't appear to be that interested in these institutions per se, but you know, there's no movement away from it either, and so
Well, I don't know. I mean, okay, so the speech from the drone had some things in it that I thought were very important. Like, they're going to move away from funding urban renewal the way that they did it, and they're going to create an urban renewal authority. I thought that that was a really good idea. Why? Because it allows the authority to decide to formulate a plan on what urban renewal will look like in the country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That will be a carrying plan. Versus what we have now, which is it is a subsection in the Ministry of Social Service. So every new minister affects the way urban renewal works. I thought that that was a great idea. I see that they're talking about some industrial institute in Grand Bahama. That makes a little bit of sense. Of course, I think they're going to have to flesh that out a little bit more, and I'll tell you why. The shipyard in Grand Bahama is not the Bahamas government. It's privately owned. But the shipyard in Grand Bahama employs thousands of people. They're just not Bahamians, and it's because there are no Bahamians to fit those skill sets. And so if we do create an institute, a feeder institute for the shipyard, that would make some sense, right? Mm-hmm. Then they talked about wanting to revamp the hotel tourism industry in Grand Bahama. I thought that made absolutely no sense, right? They're talking about doing partnerships with hospitals already. A hospital is a hotel with medical supplies. That's what it is. The operations are technically the same. So what would then have, what in my mind would make sense is, you know, the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Investments is on record saying that the Lucayan deal is egregiously bad. Well, there are only two sets of people in the world that could absorb loss at that magnitude. It would be the medical facility or the medical industry or the beauty industry. Those are two of the most money-making industries on the planet, right? If you already have loss at that magnitude, I don't see anybody in the hotel business coming to absorb that kind of loss. This doesn't make sense, right? Because hotels are so conditional. People can decide whether or not they're going to go to them. Most times you find that people who vacation in those kinds of places aren't really like massive money-holding people. People that have lots of money stay in condos outside Ocean or Old Ocean Club, and they spend $20,000 a night. They're not interested in a $400 room in a tower full of other rooms. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And so maybe we continue to look at the Lucayan property through the wrong lens. All right? We've already built this monster structure, but maybe it doesn't serve the purpose that we need to, and we need to look at a different idea. So if you have people like the Cleveland Clinic or whomever you say you have looking at the RAN, I don't know why they would be doing that. Why not just give them the Lucayan? Just give it to them. Sell it to them for $1. Y'all sell a million things in Grand Bahama for $1, right?
Right.
Sell them that for $1. We absorb the $67 million loss plus whatever it is, and we let them go for broke. And create an oncology center. Create a residential oncology clinic in Grand Bahama. That will stimulate the economy because rich people don't have a difficulty spending money. And if you create a state-of-the-art oncology clinic, right, which is one of the most money-generating sicknesses on the planet, I think you have a product there that people could look into and you know, that would actually serve the people of Grand Bahama. So, big three is. You picking any?
I never do. But you typically pick them on...
No. That's not what you told me. You said you were watching the Minister of Housing and
Training. I did. Wow. Yes, I did say that. I must admit that I hadn't paid much attention to until the election, right? I mean, in truth, I thought that Dr. Sands would have handily won that seat for some reason, right? But he didn't. But I think she strikes me as one of those, though, with like that's real ambitious and not afraid to work. I mean, she seems like she's somebody who likes to work. I would not be surprised if she's one of those in office at 5 a.m. and there till 8 p.m. easily on a daily basis. I also think she runs the risk easily becoming one of those perhaps jaded rather quickly by this whole process. I think that, you know, I watched her yesterday do that tour of the road traffic facilities, and I I was a bit concerned that she was a bit too eager and forthcoming with promises that I don't think will materialized. And I don't think that that's the way that a minister should go about it. You know what I mean? I think there is something about leaning on those the technocrats around you and really you like treat this more as a listening tour than as some parade around of romantic expressions and pipe dream selling. You know what I mean?
But she promised them that they would be soon moving on.
Mammoth deadlines. Mind you, I just said, don't make the reporters work easier for them. You know what I mean? Right. Like, because now people are coming back to you. Now people are coming back to you with exactly like 6 months and 10 days in. So how's that building coming along? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And we're seeing this with this administration already, right? And mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to jump ahead of you, but. You know, this is why I caution our friends on the F&M side, do not let outsiders write your party's narrative. You know, this government has already gone from September 17th, 100% approval ratings to, you know, it's slipping at a rate of about like 5% per day.
Wow. You know, 5% per day?
You don't think so?
No.
I think, man, listen, how much points has Prime Minister Davis lost this week?
I don't know, but I think he came out of the gate swinging with some very, very, very easy things. They got done.
So.
Right? And then, of course, there's the little snafu with him and his Minister of National Security going on down there.
That's in this week.
Yeah, he now comes and says, well, he wasn't aware that his Minister of National
Security. This has not been a very good week for this government.
No, it's not been the worst week.
Of course not. But I mean,
if you consider the fact that, you know, there still haven't been board appointments yet, there still haven't been general manager appointments yet, there still haven't been managing director appointments yet. There's so many things this government just hasn't gotten to us yet that I don't know if they could be slipping by 5%.
Well, okay, that was an example. You know, I'm not a good math student, but still. And also, I have an agenda. But. Okay. Let's be clear here.
Sure.
But I'm saying, though, I think that, I think, though, you could we at least admit, compared to where most administrations at this early out of the gate would be, I mean, I think this administration is running into some unnecessary obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a lot of ways, it's a lot of self-inflicted wounds that this administration is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think
there are two ministers in particular that come to my mind when I think about the way these portfolios were outlaid, right?
Mm.
Joe Beth Colby is one. You and I share the same view. I imagine that Dr. Dwayne Sands would have comfortably folded her in Elizabeth.
Right.
That didn't materialize.
Mm.
She is now the Minister of Housing and Transport. When you consider the massive difference between those two ministries and what they represent, I continue even in the speech from the throne to hear them talk about creating more housing and more affordable housing. And I don't know if that model ever worked for us. One. Two, we're in the middle of a mortgage crisis. Who right. will we be building these houses for? Mm. I'm also not hearing any talk about how do we go about reshaping the Bahamian concept of what home ownership looks like. I am of the opinion that gone are the days where everybody needs a 50 by 100 to live on.
Mm.
I think that we now need to suggest a community landscape type housing complex if we are even going to consider home ownership for the young Bahamian. The average Bahamian at 40 doesn't have children and is not interested in a wife. And so that person doesn't need 100 by 100 to live on. I think she's going to run into a bit of a problem there. There are massive amounts of uninhabited homes in New Providence presently. Do we look at recouping that and stimulating the economy through a renovation program funded by the Ministry of Housing,
mm-hmm.
which gets people houses at a very cheaper rate and gets the construction sector going? I don't know if they've considered that as opposed to building new homes. I know that we have the subdivisions already laid out, the one in Carmichael Road, and there's the proposal for the one on Prospect Ridge. But now as Minister of Housing, with an additional portfolio of transport, we have to remember now she's responsible for the docks. She's not. I mean, this is real stuff. Every cruise ship that pulls in here,
she has responsibility. When is she going home? Because
this is what I want. And not just that. And I say this respectfully, she's not a juggernaut of a politician. Mm. Like, she's not one of those people that has had so much time in public life that she's able to maneuver her way around the bureaucracy in her own departments.
Mm.
Because I can tell you this, these people are just getting to know their minister.
Right.
And as much as we'd like to pretend like it doesn't exist, there is the, well, she ain't my minister. There are those people among her staff. And so she has to be able to finesse those people to the point that they want to work for her while not making her people feel as though she's being overly patronizing to the people that aren't supporting her. And when you consider the fact that those two ministries are so diametrically opposite to one another, I don't know when this, and she doesn't have a minister of state. When is this woman going to go home?
And she's the public face of this ministry, the PR person of both these ministries. You know, like, you're the one that the microphones will be lined up in front of, and the, yeah, it's a mammoth task for her.
The other minister that gets my attention because of...
So she's one of the big three, is that what
you're
saying?
She's not my big three, no. But the way...
Well, big three, I think we ought to explain what big three means for you.
My big three, the big three when I picked them are the ministers that I assume will be top performing coming out of the administration. Okay. Believe this or not, Fred Mitchell is in my big three.
Okay, so this is not big three, the big three to watch. These are who you think will be top performers.
No. The two that I'm naming now are the ones that I get concerned over because of the way their portfolio is constructed.
Okay, so...
The other minister that I'm concerned about is the Minister of State in the Office of the Prime Minister. Because he's Minister of State in the Office of the Prime Minister.
Miles Larota,
which makes him Minister of State in the Office of the Minister of Finance, because he's in the Office of the Prime Minister, which happens to all be in the same office, right?
Mm.
Then he is the Minister of State for NIB and the Minister of State for Disaster Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
That portfolio, you know, it's almost like when Alfred Sayers had education and Attorney General. Like, you are going to drive one man crazy with this amount of things to do. How do you make them binary?
I don't quite agree with you there. I think that
NIB is in a state.
I think that Michael Halkidis is is the de facto minister of finance.
Yes.
So I think I don't imagine this is laid out for Miles Larota to be the to be that heavily involved with the goings on at the Ministry of Finance. I don't see him being burdened in that way.
Okay. But he has NIB, right, which has its issues with insolvency in a short period of time.
Any number of issues.
Right. Then there's the board issue and the director issue, and in case you don't know, it's probably one of the most polarized corporations in this country, right? Like, if you want to know the tone of the country, go check the people at NIB, right? But there's a lot of bureaucracy to be had there.
Right.
He's going to have that to deal with and manage. He's coming back on the tail end of a minister that wasn't very shiny.
Right.
And now he also has disaster recovery, and he's coming on the tail end of two ministers that weren't very shiny.
Right.
In a new ministry that still really hasn't grown.
That was not
legs.
Laid out very clearly.
Right.
So, right.
And a managing director who basically was technically the minister. And so I don't know if as minister, he has a clear view of what exactly this new creature is that we created called the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness, right?
Right.
And then how does that conflict or interact with NEMA, which was created 20 years ago? So there's so many moving pieces between those two ministries that I don't think Miles Larota is going home any other day of the week except for Friday.
Mm.
Like, his entire social life is going to be absorbed. He cannot do... I don't expect to see him doing any traveling. He has to be to work every single day. That's the only... And we are still in the middle of a hurricane season, so he's inheriting the plans that were already on the table, right? If a hurricane skips across the back here at the end of October, early November, which is typically when we get them, this isn't his plan. He's literally, right, going to be in a situation where he has to engage or have oversight over something that he has no clue about.
And to make matters worse, he's also the MP for the flood zone.
Correct.
So,
which he has promised that he's going to eradicate.
There you go.
So, you know, I don't know when Miles will ever get a day off. He and Joe Beth Colby Davis, I send with them my prayers. That is the best I can do for them. All right? Now, so, the big three to watch. I think Obi's going
to... So you're not going to do a third person to watch? It's just two to watch?
No,
I mean, two that you're concerned about.
That I'm concerned about.
Okay.
Right. So the big three to watch, I think, is going to be Fred Mitchell, right?
Mm.
Because I think Fred Mitchell is going to mend or mesh a lot of the relationships that we've damaged. Plus, can I say this? I think Fred Mitchell has had himself a come-to-Jesus moment. I hear him in the Haitian dance claiming to love Haitian people. Maybe Jesus found him on the road to Damascus. I don't know. Maybe Jesus found Fred Mitchell on the road to Damascus, and now he's repentant.
I will believe that when I see a kumbaya moment.
There is a video of him in the Haitian
I
want to
see an embrace with him and Fred Smith then.
Well, we would have to get Fred Smith on board with that, right? All right, so Fred Mitchell.
Because I see Luby and Barry Christie posing a picture together. I said, boy.
Precisely.
Boy.
So it looks like on the road to Damascus, Fred Mitchell has found Jesus, right? And now that he found Jesus, he loves all mankind. And now he is prepared to be a little more sober. And I say this word lightly, a little less draconian, right? And if he tempers himself, we already know that he is the consummate professional and...
And
he's an astute politician, right? So I believe that Darren Handfield suffered from being a novice in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. That was one of the greatest challenges I think we as a country suffered during the two greatest crises of our lifetime, right?
And one thing, you know, for whom the bells toll, I love that about you. There is this line here, and can we just say, like, with Darren Handfield, as I see Frank Watson is here saying about Dr. Minnis,
mm-hmm.
that he's apparently a good doctor in the wrong business, and maybe Darren Handfield was good in the areas where you know him, but I don't think this was where he was cut out for.
Precisely, and so I think Fred Mitchell will go there and do what Fred Mitchell does in Fred Mitchell fashion. And I'm hopeful that the Prime Minister hitches his wagon tightly enough to Fred Mitchell so that he gets the benefit and experience of international relations with his Minister of Foreign Affairs. The second big name to watch, I think, is going to be Obadiah Hercules-Wilchcombe. I think everybody believes that Obi can only do the fancy fanfare stuff. Social service is an opportunity for him to roll his sleeves up, mm-hmm. put some grit into the game, and prove to people that I could wear a coat suit, but I could come down here and put on a bush jacket and handle plates of grits better than anybody on the planet. Don't play with me. Like, I am Obadiah Hercules-Wilchcombe.
Well, you two have had a come-to-Jesus moment. Now, I'm going to spit out some of what you say off air. And that ain't no money there, man.
That's a very... Social service don't have no glitz and glamour.
And they usually give it to a girl.
They typically give this to a woman, yes. I typically give this to a woman.
I think
that's going to be a shaping. I think Obi's personality in Ministry of Social Service is going to be so strong that it shapes the way the ministry works. Now, I think his challenge is going to be the Ministry of Social Service is made up a little differently, right? Like, it has a really big department, yes. that he doesn't really have control over, right? And so I'm not really sure how he kind of incorporates that, but... I think Obi is gonna do well. I'm picking him for my big three.
But listen, these are the type of appointments that keep you up at night because you really want to understand the thinking behind it, mm-hmm. right? So this is very interesting for somebody like Obi Wilchcombe in my point of view. I mean, he's been in public life now for a long time,
right?
But this is the first time I think he's getting an appointment that will really put him, like, under public fire,
right?
Tourism, that's a very niche area, right? Mm. Where the general public's not really that engaged, mm. I suppose. This, I think, changes it.
Except for if you consider the fact that Obadiah Wilchcombe probably has the largest Rolodex of the people.
This is true, but I'm still saying this is where now, I think, where the whole... Like, it will just be a very different... This will be very different from what he's been used to in public life. And I think the same is true for Glenys Hannah-Martin. I think that, again, with transportation or whatever else, they've managed to go kind of unscathed as public figures.
Mm-hmm.
I think this changes it a lot now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think, and I wonder, is this a test or is this political smartness on the part of somebody higher up?
I think to put a juggernaut like Obi in the Ministry of Social Service, again, like Frankie Campbell, I really liked Frankie. You know, he was one of my big three picks in the last administration.
Mm-hmm.
Fizzled off a little quickly, but to his credit, they changed his job, I think, twice. So it's kind of difficult to put your roots in the ground if you keep getting moved around. But... I don't know. I think having a polished politician with a massive Rolodex as Obadiah Wilchcombe's, I believe that we can see some things in social service that necessarily the Ministry of Social Service doesn't need the bureaucracy to get done. Obi can get it done with a phone call.
But where's this Rolodex? I mean, where's
Wilchcombe not know?
Yeah, but where's the evidence that this has ever paid off in any way?
Ryan Sands was fired from the cabinet.
Because of Obi's doing? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that... Okay.
Okay, so that's the evidence.
Right. So So obviously Obi is the guy that knows cutting people
corners.
That
knows
people.
I mean,
not cutting corners. Obi is the guy that knows people that can get things done. Sometimes, if you do not have the political astuteness to manage that, you could get yourself in some problems.
Right.
But I think he does have the political astuteness.
Okay, right. Okay, so help me understand, because I mean, you know more obviously than I do, and than a lot of other people. He got Dr. Sands fired, is what you said.
No, I never said
that. Oh, what is
I'm saying that the relationship that was created somehow in the middle there had some doing with his connection in there some way. Okay? That's about as much as I want to say about it.
Okay, then.
All right.
Okay, then. I look forward to the commercial.
Oh, listen, my other big three, we can go by the water and hole and talk about it. My other big three, though, believe this or not, and I know people are going to say that my views are jaundiced, whatever, I'm watching Pia Glover. I think she's going to be the big three. I think she's going to be one of the better women in the cabinet. She's going to be the junior minister to Fred Mitchell, who's going to spend half of his time out of the country. This is her first run-of-the-mill at public life. She's going to have the public service union to deal with, along with a bunch of other unions, NCTU and all those other people, because she's the public service minister. And so this is going to be a baptism by fire. If she's able to simply keep poise and calm and balance the ship until Fred gets back.
So you think Mr. Mitchell this time around is willing to share the load? Is that what you're suggesting?
I think because his ministry is foreign affairs and the public service. And the public service has had issues brewing. The prison officers have had their issues brewing for quite some time. There's the promotion thing going on now in the public service. There are any number of things going on in the public service that there is no way Fred Mitchell mends international relationships. Because he needs to be on a plane to do that, right? There's no way he can do that effectively and manage these things. But I think if he has a minister of state that is competent and passive enough, or competent and what is the word I'm looking for? Someone that doesn't easily trigger or flare, right? Because those unions will do that to you. Like, the unions are going to get up one day. You're going to wake up one day as minister. They're going to be 3,000 people downtown all saying they're not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to figure that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if she has enough poise and polish, she can actually make that role turn into something where people say, man, one thing, but when she was in it, man, I didn't like her. If she pulls that off, I think she gets good synergy from the unions, right? The unions will be kind to her. It doesn't hurt that she has had some exposure as a beauty queen, so she understands congeniality, right? No, like, she's not going to go in there this Corville Bifrom. She's not going to go in there as like a mallet or like a bulldozer, right? She understands the importance of gentleness. And so she takes that in there with the unions. Hopefully they don't slap her around the room too much. And if she comes out, not unscathed, but alive, she may turn out to be a shining star.
You know, you were saying earlier in the show, these things are, you know, everything that we're not saying as well, right?
Right.
I mean, because the truth is that in that case, I mean, you're going to be dealing with career unionists.
Right.
Who you is? You better go get Fred, yeah?
He is not here and he won't be back for 2 weeks.
What,
you got me to deal with.
What has Belinda Wilson already said about Zay?
Yeah, me and him, we ain't talking.
All right, that is
the third one I'm watching that I think the Ministry of Education would do well to hide Zayn every time they have a meeting with the union. I telling you the truth. Send him somewhere. The one thing I like about Bahamian politicians is they love field trip. All right?
Yes.
They love field trip. If you know you got a meeting plan with the union on Wednesday, send your minister of state on a field trip. Let him ride around with police escort. Look at all the school. Check for the leaking pipe. They love field trip. Love. Bahamian politicians love field trip. Send him Crooked Island. Let him look at the schools there. He could take pictures. He could feel like the minister. You and Belinda go talk.
This is going to be a lot of struggling to figure out, like, what exactly do these people do, though?
I don't know what a minister of state for education does.
This, I mean, seriously, this worries me a lot that we're going to be running around here really trying to figure out who does what, where,
well, the
when.
Truth is, this is going to be the first time in a long time that I can recall that the Ministry of Education isn't tied to anything. The Ministry of Education stands alone now. It doesn't have youth, sport, and culture tied to the hip of it anymore, which I think
that's been that way for a while.
Mm-mm.
What do you mean?
Mm-mm.
What do you mean? Jeff Lloyd was not the Minister of Youth.
What was he? The Minister of
Education, Science. Was it still Science and Technology? It was Minister of Education?
I don't know. I have to check. But so, and Glenys is the juggernaut of a politician, right? Because even as learned as Jeffrey Lloyd is, I don't think
has Lanisha already become Tingham to you?
Man, she was Tingham when she was in the cabinet. I reached around in the bag for her name several times while she was in the cabinet. And I'm in public. I read the news all the time. I couldn't remember her sometimes. So that's kind of weird. Now, Hubert Minnis says that the speech from the throne is a rehash of the Yefedev's,
totally agree.
And I think you have to be an idiot to say that, right? Because the fact that they could rehash your speech means you ain't getting none of it done, silly. The fact that I could come and promise your girlfriend all the things that you promised her, it means you ain't do none of the things. And so now I could literally do nothing except for the things that you promised to do and be the best man she ever met. That was stupid.
Oh, no. But again, see, we talked about fashion at the opening of Parliament. Let's talk about style.
Mm-hmm.
Because here comes Perry Christie and say, they were my stuff too. What does that mean?
I don't know. But I thought it was, when he said, oh, they rehashed this, I said, what? This doesn't make sense. How could you say that the reason that this new government is only promising you all the things I promise you all when I'm the immediate past government? That means I didn't deliver. Doesn't that what that means?
Yeah.
He said that, whoever coached him through that should be fired.
A lot of things, though. I don't understand. I'm back to Wednesday for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there are some moments with the camera that mm-hmm. you guys can refuse.
What does that mean?
That was not the venue for all this political swiping.
Mm.
Issue your statement or later.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like Dr. Minnis doing it. I mean, totally understand that it's the opposition.
I know you're the Minnis boy.
I am. You know, the opposition's role is to oppose. I don't care what anybody says, but well, you got to give them time and this and that. No, I don't buy that nonsense. You come out the gate swinging right away. It is what it is. This is we are playing politics,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Christie, I thought, was out of order as well, and I know it's sacrilegious to go around and never say anything in disagreement of these former prime ministers, but I really thought that he was out of line as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was a bit, he was playing, being a bit dishonest with history as well. I mean, don't show up here as though, like, you know, I was such an asset to this party winning this 2021 election.
Right, because he was very much in the sidelines.
But not only that, they had to spend a lot of time distancing themselves from you, from your administration's record.
But Mr. Christie was on the ground. Like, I know for a fact he was in Abaco when I was there.
But I'm saying...
But he was having gentle counter-talk, yes, politics talk.
But a lot of the thing is, or a lot of people had not forgotten the Christie years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the truth about it. I mean, people, 2017 left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And this is precisely why Dr. Minnis was elected, why the Free National Movement was elected in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
These are leadership races.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this is something that we always have to be reminded of, that that this is very much about the leader of your party.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I say it all the time. And it was an interesting read this week in the National Review about the fact that we do not vote in, we vote out.
Right. Hmm. I guess. So, can I ask you this?
But again, you're not allowed to talk about Mr. Christie.
Is
two people leaving does not allow you. I mean, Leaving's not a petty person, but he will ignore your calls if you say anything ill of Perry Christie and Dr. Dwayne Sands. I'm telling you that for a fact. You can talk about Papa. You can say a couple of things about Papa, but not too much. But Christie and Dr. Sands are off limits. My goodness.
So, okay. So I want to ask you this question then, Gorville, because, you know, I don't know if it's premonition or maybe the voice of the Lord spoke to me something. I'm not sure. Right. And I'm going to a break. Is that a break? Okay, we're going to a break. But Gorville, before we go to the break, I want you to think about something. Do you think this means that Alison Maynard Gibson is coming back?
But not a CG.
What?
Age limit.
We just fix them kind of rules, man. What you talking about?
Especially in the BLV.
We just fix them kind of rules.
Especially in a new day.
We will amend that in the morning. It's us. It's us. So I believe, all right, Mr. Davis obviously wants to be the prime minister with the most female inclusion. They say stop calling them females. Woman inclusion in the history of everybody that's ever ran the Bahamas since Mussy Woods Rogers, right? Like, he wants to make sure that his legacy is that nobody else had more woman than me. All right? So we've got one in the Senate.
No one else had more woman than me.
Yeah. One in the House of Assembly. So the entire legislative branch of the Bahamas sits on the shoulders of women. If he anchors the judiciary on the shoulders of a woman, a strong woman now, Alison Maynard Gibson, man, only the executive one rests on Philip Davis's shoulder, Prime Minister, of course, right? And he could go and say, listen, go check the record. I was the one. And by the time as he leave office, the commissioner of police may be a woman. I just say it. I just say it. Mr. Davis looked like woman, 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 woman. Put them everywhere, right? And as I run to the break, let me make this one last joke. I thought it was so funny that Barry Griffin deemed himself the youngest person to hold the position in the Senate. When the Senate is a place made for old people, the accomplishment would have been if you were 98. Because then they would say, even at the ripe age of 98, this government understands the work that I have done, and they've allowed me to continue in service. Being young in the Senate isn't an accomplishment.
I don't want to rain on his parade either, but I wish he would cut away with this nonsense. Thank you for. I want to thank my colleagues for this election. I read the Wednesday article.
Yeah.
It told me then who was going to be the president of the Senate. This was not an election. It was a selection. Let's be clear about what these things mean.
Let's go to the break. Let's take a break. It's Levin Miller. Corbin Pye from here, y'all. That's why I can't go to the phone line. We'll be back after the break.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Hey. Find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Lavon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you so much. Well, they catch the throat clear. I was trying to do it before I get back. But thank you so much for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio. That means that I'm unleashed. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. It's actually 11:57, Corbin. Let me read a couple of these text messages. This one says, the word I'm looking for is stoic. I don't know if stoic is the one that I'm looking for. I know the word stoic. Good morning, Levin. Miles LaRuta is also in charge of ZNS and BIS. I tell you, Miles ain't going home. No, Miles can't ever go home. He have to stay to work. They need to bill him a little suite in the office of the Prime Minister with a nice little shower and a selection of dark-colored coat suits. And here's another thing. This is the first time that we've had elections in the month of November, right? October. October is Breast Cancer Month. I see all kind of fashion out there. Thank God for Her Excellency Dame Marguerite. No, I mean,
Mr. Christie wore pink. Wasn't he in a pink tie?
I don't remember that being pink. That looked a little, I don't know what color that was, but
it was a lot of.
Why did the protocol officers not tell the elected members to at least wear the pink ribbon, man? Y'all don't like breasts, eh? Y'all have something against breasts?
Well, you had to get that line in there. You had to.
I am opposed to it, Corbett Byfram. This one here says, Levin, good morning. After listening to Wayne Munro for the last few days, I am convinced more than ever he does not belong in politics. Good morning, Miller and guests. He sounds like a disgruntled F&M. And secondly, I hope you realize that these polls don't work because all of them said that Mr. Davis would have lost the election. And that is why we want Dr. Minnis to go away, because we will not forget how he looked out for the rich and then told us that next time would be for the poor. Good morning, all. With your comments about women, it is obvious that you, Mr. Miller, are very chauvinistic. I can hear it in your tone. I can hear that you do not feel that women are equal or should not be too much in politics / government. That's just how it sounds from, to me, a woman. Listen, let's make some things clear. This breast cancer awareness.
I have a disgruntled effort up.
I love breasts. I love women. My ma happened to be a woman, and I want great things for her. Both my grandmothers, you may find this hard to believe, were women. And so were my sisters. You know, they were all women. And I love them dearly, and I want great things for them. I wanted to accomplish great things in life. Corval, you got 10 seconds. What you got?
I'm a disgruntled F&M. Is that what the text writer said?
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't know you as Glennis Anamaya.
No.
Greatest, most ardent supporter. Anyway, that's my time. You know, I say it every Friday. Please do everything in your power to make sure that you do not kill anybody this weekend. Greater than that, make sure nobody don't kill you. And if you do that, I'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. I know you know, the world knows. They do it all day. Don't move. They've got news. That's next.
One day, when the war is won, we will be sure.